volunteers in the nursery. If you're interested in applying in this particular area, please speak with Jessica Town or Stacy Burt. There's also a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. Seems we're having baby issues. Okay. All right, let's check ourselves and be sure we're under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. I hope that you've been able to comprehend the greatness of God's plan as related to the church and Israel in the last days. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's all tied together perfectly, which means that if I'm right in what I'm teaching you up here, we won't be here this time next year. We'll be with the Lord in heaven, and the trib will be cranked up here on earth. I know it's mind-boggling. But if there is a sign of the final generation, and it's the fig tree, then this is the only way it can be. As someone said to me, we were talking about this, putting together some of this back in the day, back when I did Mark, the whole book. If this isn't it, I don't know what it is. And that's exactly how I feel about it, too. I know it sounds scary to get up, because there has been, through the course of the church age, all these date setters. There's been a whole bunch of people. Something would happen in history, Christians would get cranked up, and one instance even run up on a mountain and wearing white robes. Goofy stuff. Positively goofy stuff. Or saying this guy's the Antichrist or this or that. If there's no Israel, no state of Israel, what kind of sense does it make that the trib could start up? Jews can't go to just the country. And then that whole vision of the valley of the dry bones. First you have Jews scattered everywhere. That's helter-skelter. Bones everywhere. And the bones represent the fact that they're out here in the world. The valley is the world, and they're spiritually dead. They are spiritually dead. They're religious, they're this, they're that, they're spiritually dead. Then the bones start coming together, and the bones start getting connected, because this is a movement that preceded 1948. It was a movement called Zionism to reestablish the Jewish homeland. You can go study it. You can go read about it. Read about, you know, the father of it, Herzl. Because the Jews suffered in the countries they were in. It wasn't always pleasant where they landed. As we noted here, run them all out of the country or kill them. Episodes of anti-Semitism and persecution of the Jews. So, and it's in their DNA. I'm not speaking in exaggeration. It's in their DNA. There's something about, we are, while we're settled in this country and we're doing all this, we're not where we're supposed to be, geographically, in a sense. And so that's in the air with them. Why would the cosmos want to sponsor the Jewish state? Why would they want to be in favor? Why would the UN and the people get this vote that passed to get them recognized as a nation? Why? Because Satan wants to set up his kingdom. He's trying to, and he wants his Messiah, and he wants it Jerusalem. He doesn't want the place obliterated. And that's what we see with the Antichrist. He attempts to usurp God's plan and what his plan is. It's not like he's just out here wanting to do. He wants to usurp anything that's in God's plan, and that includes putting his guy in the temple, in the trib, which he'll get to that point, but then it'll all be overturned. He knows that God has a special place for Jerusalem historically, and that it will be the top city and the place from which Christ rules over the nations during the 1,000-year period. And we go in the eternal state, we get the new Jerusalem. It is a city that just comes down out of heaven and sets on the new earth, that's a cube, of 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. You put a lot of people in that. Also, the Jews among the nations, they haven't always been good guests. There's that problem. They brought some stuff on themselves. And this was a big part of the whole Nazi thing and all the Jewish money changers, the bankers, all that. Some people spoke out against that stuff. So the Jews have been corrupt in their dispersion, a lot of them, not all of them. Some are just basic people who want to, you know, get along. I've met some real nice ones. We were hosted by a Jewish family before we went to Israel. They had us over at Passover. They were real pleasant people. And we observed Passover with them. And they read that scripture that they read out of the Old Testament on the Passover occasion. I didn't have any problem with that. They were just giving us tips on being in Israel. All right. The unknown, verses 32 and 33. But of that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. What? Read that on face value. It requires some explanation. Day or hour. Okay, we know what an hour of the day is. Like when they signed the armistice to end World War I. The Illuminati's running the show. Guess what day they do it? They do it the 11th month. The 11th day. November 11th. 11 a.m. 11 plus 11 plus 11, 33. They do this stuff all the time. They think they're so clever. No one knows the day or the hour. Angels don't know it. The Son doesn't know it, but the Father knows it. Now that presents a theological issue immediately. What is it the Son doesn't know that the Father knows? It must be relative to his humanity exclusively, or we have a verse that's in violation of so many verses that indicates that the Father and the Son are one in essence. One isn't greater than the other in the sense of divine attributes. Get to that. Another summons to alertness to believers through time. Take heed. Blepo. Our verb to see, present imperative. Keep on the alert. This is a call to believers from this point forward in the thing all the way through. Be on the alert. Present active imperative. The Greek verb. For you do not know when the time will come. The appointed time is the definite article, kairos, which can be sometimes it's translated the season, or a time frame. Right time is present active indicative. Basically, what this is saying is, you don't know. Starting off back where they were and working your way forward, you don't know when the fig tree's going to pop up and be in place and start budding. Then he uses a comparison, which Jesus liked to do. It is like a man away on a journey, because he's out of town. It's like a man who goes away, on a journey. Upon leaving his house and putting his slaves, doulos, with a definite article, plural, in charge. the verb for authority with a definite article, exousia, in charge, assigning to each his task. Each one has a task. This man obviously has a considerable house, an estate. And in this vast estate that he has a lot of different things that have to be attended to run the estate. Clearly. But he's going to be gone for an indeterminate period of time. And in his absence, he assigns each of these servants, slaves, a responsibility. That means some slaves are over others in authority because you've got to run this thing. You got, you know, the guy's the head of grounds, taking care of the estate and all the plants and keeping it all looking picture perfect. And you've seen maybe some of these shows where they show all these different people. Some people are in charge of the kitchen, the food, a task. Each one gets his own task, ergon. Also commanded, this is another servant, the doorkeeper. This would indicate someone where people have access to come and go. He's called the doorkeeper. Through Roros. To stay on the alert. So this doorkeeper has a special place because it's going to be the doorkeeper. Guess what he's going to announce? He's going to announce the return of the master. He's going to send off the signal that the master's returning when he gets the appropriate information in front of him, whether through the post office or whatever. Or some courier, he's going to get the information that he will be here on the so-and-so date. That's the doorkeeper. Therefore, reiterate, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. The master of the house. The word master is our word Lord. The Lord of the house. Is coming. Whether in evening, getting dark, or at even the middle of the night, midnight, possibly he could show up at midnight, or when the rooster crows in the morning, dawn. In case he should come suddenly means unexpectedly. In case he should come unexpectedly, and find you asleep. Gethudo. What I say to you, I say to all. Be on the alert. Now, how are you going to execute that command within this context? You've got to know Bible prophecy, like we've been studying, so that you can be alert and awake and not be caught off guard by the rapture of the church for the church. One, this verse is often cited as proving that it's impossible to know with any degree of certainty the timing of the Lord's coming. It may appear to contradict the above analysis of the budding fig tree and the generation that will not pass away. So we're just supposed to throw that out the window? No, that's what some have done historically. The reason that the second advent of Christ was not known, we'll go to the second advent. Because when the disciples are talking to Jesus about his coming, of course they're not thinking about a rapture. That's not even been revealed yet to anybody. So They're thinking about the second advent. The reason that the second advent of Christ was not known is that no one knew when Israel would become a nation, reemerge as a nation after 70 AD, which at this time, of course, they were still a nation and would continue for 37 more years. Once Israel became a nation, the unknown becomes known. Boom. So all the people before that, all the Christians on all the centuries before that, if they had been informed properly and were on the alert, what were they on the alert for? The appearance of Israel as a nation among the nations. That's all they'd have to do. Be on the alert and serve God in their assigned task under their gift in time. We'll see how many did that. Instead of not knowing anything about this. That'd be the responsibility of the doorkeeper whose job is to announce the appearance of the return of the master gone to a faraway country. That's my job. I'm the doorkeeper. And each of you have a task to serve God within this local church to the end. Be sure you do it. And stay on the alert. Keep your garments, as it were, so you will not appear naked and exposed at the Bema seat. That's got to be your prayer. One more day, you've seen good believers fall spiritually, go down over the years. Don't be one of them. That's all I can say. At least within a fairly limited time frame. If a generation is 70 to 80 years in duration, then the timing of the second advent comes into quick focus. Generation has to mean something. And don't tell me no one knows what a generation is, because I cited the verse in Psalm 90, verse 10. 70 to 80 years, that is an average lifespan of an average person. Right now, longevity is within that bracket. And that's how we measure generations. Because one generation in Ecclesiastes follows another. And as I showed you, there were 42 generations from Adam to Jesus, broken up into three parts. Adam to Abraham, Abraham down to, and so forth. 3/14 of that day refers to the second advent. It cannot refer to anything else. From the vantage point of believers living on the earth until such time as Israel became a nation, third commonwealth. And the final restoration, the third one, this restoration, will be the last one. It's the second restoration, the third commonwealth. The first is Joshua's. Once that happened, the maximum time frame for the second advent is 2028. Simple, basic math. Another factor that must be kept in mind is that the rapture and the second advent must take place on a sabbatical year. Sevens, sevens, sevens. Take 7,000 years and click off 7 years at a time, working your way all the way to the end. 1,000 sevens. If the birth of the church was on one of those sevens, 33, just count forward 777. And when you come to our century, this century we just got into, 20 years into, the sevens would be 2000, 2007, 2014, 2021, 28, 35, up the ladder. So again, rapture is not going to occur on some odd number. It's going to occur on a seven. I also told you in our previous summary that 2028 is not only a sabbatical year, See, Israel had a sabbatical year. They had a 7-day Sabbath every Saturday, seventh day, no work, blah blah blah. It's in the Ten Commandments and it's all the rules about it. They also had a sabbatical year. Every 7 years, things got largely shut down. It was to teach them, among other things, faith rest. I will provide for you in 6 years, and you can let your field out there that you're growing wheat in lay fallow for 1 year. And I will give you enough food and everything in the 6 years that you can rest the seventh year. Sabbatical year. How cool is that? They never kept them. They never faith rested it corporately, far as I know. So the Babylonian captivity was to pay for all those sabbatical years they had violated from the beginning. 70 years. Exactly. How many Sabbaths, sabbatical years is that? 70 they violated. So they got to pay it up. The land laid dormant 70 years. It was another part of that judgment on Israel. Then they had a jubilee year every 50, half century. Guess when it falls? 2028. You can go check it out with the Jewish sources. They'll tell you 2028 jubilee year. Subtract 50 from that and then you know when the last one was. And it's in the law of Moses. On a jubilee year, you set all the slaves free. See, they had slavery in Israel. Indentured servants. People owned people. A poor people, a person who could not pay their bills could sell themselves to someone else and for a period of time, all slaves were released. It was a reset. That's just one thing. Oh, by the way, by letting the land rest for a year, it refurbishes the soil. The land gets to rest. Dirt. Interesting. So, the rapture and the second advent must take place on a sabbatical year. If you counted all the sevens from Daniel's, and I can't go into it, Daniel's 70 weeks of years, even though and 1 through 69 was fulfilled with the conclusion of Christ's ministry in 33 AD. That's the 69th week of years. 69 sevens. You just do the math with that. How many years that add up to? But the 70th is tacked on out here at the end after the church age. It's like you got 1 through 69, and then you have this parenthesis, church age. You go out here to the end, and then you have the 70th week of years. Normally, it would have continued right after that, but it didn't. It's like the pause button was hit, except you're still counting sevens all the way through. You're still counting seven, 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 all the way down. Find out if you're born on one of the sevens. Doesn't matter, it's just... That rules out 2018 for the rapture. 1948 plus 70 for, you know, the generation span. It rules out 2018 since this 2018 wasn't a sabbatical year. The first 69 weeks of years began on a sabbatical year, 444 BC. Something happened on that date. And when this was revealed to Daniel, that was well before that. It was revealed through Daniel that this was happening. And the beginning of it, the onset of this clock clicking, was the decree of the Persian ruler, I think it was Artaxerxes, who said that they could rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. When the Jews came out of captivity, the first thing they started working on was their temple. This time around, it's like the last thing, the Trib Temple. It was the first thing. And that marked the beginning of this clicking on down through. That's why, for instance, someone in the know, living at the time of the birth of Jesus, would know that the Messiah is on earth. The Magi figured it out a different way, but the prophet Simeon, who held his Savior in his arms as a baby in the temple and pronounced those wonderful words over him that he's for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Because his desire was, he was an old man, his desire was that God would grace him out and let him just live long enough to lay his eyes on the Messiah. Well, they were bringing Jesus, Mary and Joseph, they were bringing Jesus to the temple to fulfill the law with regard to a newborn dedication. And he happened to be there. You know how why he happened to be there? He was so stirred up by God, the Holy Spirit, he just had to get to the temple. It's like a compulsion. How cool is that? I am so impressed with these kind of people. I am so impressed with someone like that. All of Judaism, all of the leaders should have been talking about this all the time. But no. We're under the blackout of the soul. But it had to be that way, or they would have never betrayed Jesus and turned him over and did all that to him. And then we wouldn't have salvation. So how do you work that out? But they're still guilty. They're still guilty. But men like Simon, John the Baptist's parents, a low-level priest, not some big high priest, just a low-level priest, they got their act together. And they were husband and wife. And they had been praying all their married life. But they were old now. All their married life for a child. And God closed Elizabeth's womb. No, nothing. But they didn't quit praying. And in their old age, they got the promise of the forerunner of the Lord, John the Baptist. That trick hadn't happened since Abraham and Sarah. That was the only other time we know of that miracle ever occurred, where a woman and a man married past their sexual, they are sexually dead, kaput, have their entire physiologies fixed up. So an old woman could do all the things necessary to get pregnant and to have a child. It was John the Baptist. So hang in there spiritually. It's the few. It's the precious few. Some people make a good run at it, and then they go on their face. Don't let it be you. You know, we don't have much time to act stupid. You will stand tall. People will try to talk you out of your crown. Your STA will try to talk you out of your crown. You don't need to go anywhere. Oh, I'm just so tired. I just can't put up with this anymore. That's called soul fainting in Hebrews. Soul fainting. You don't want to fight the fight anymore. You're just tired. Pathetic if we act like that. So you do get some exhortations around here. I would encourage you to encourage one another. Greet one another. Say hi to somebody. I don't know that person. You don't have to know that person. Good to see you. Introduce yourself. You shy? It's not supposed to be a church where you come and you sit in your little cubicle and then you get up and you run out and you have no association. I'm not trying to tell you to do anything artificial, cranked up. Just make yourself available. Say hi to people. Greet them. Me too. I find it really strange when I can't just say, "Hi, how are you?" And I mean it sincerely. I'm not trying to put you on. They go off like that. What's with that? Do I got leprosy? Did I just teach the grossest doctrine on the face of the earth? It's sad. It saddens me. It really does. What happened to you? Nothing happened to me. Something happened to you. And if I offended you and did something that is so God-awful, well, why don't you come talk to me about it? Well, you won't listen. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Okay, let's move on here. A properly informed student of Scripture, find one, could know that Israel must reappear as a nation state before the onset of the trib, followed immediately by the second advent, 7 years later. In fact, it's down to the day, 2,520 days. That is so simple. Divide into two parts, 1260 plus 1260. First half, second half. If you're on the ground, if you're left behind on the rapture, you got this Bible, you can go to the book of Revelation and say, you know, we got 2,520 days of hell on this earth before Christ comes back. That's it. I can't even tell you the date. If I know the date of the rapture, and they'll know the day of the week, the day, they'll even know the hour. Oh, is this going to be funny? This will be all over the news. This is hypothetical. If it was 12 noon, well, here in Oklahoma, it'd be some time elsewhere, time zones. Everybody will know. I mean, clocks will stop almost. People disappearing all over the place. Your local cemetery looks like a war zone. That's my opinion. My opinion, we're not going to leave the graves intact. God could raise a dead body out of a grave and leave all the dirt and the coffin and everything down there. I understand that. But I think He is going to disrupt them. It's going to be such a sign. People can't fall back. Aliens came and got them. And there's going to be some people that are left will be a surprise. And there are going to be some that are taken that are going to be a surprise. That person's gone? She was a prostitute. Yeah, but she got saved in a Baptist Sunday school when she was 10. So what? We have a few prostitutes in the Bible made mention of. Anyway, I have to do this to try to get it across to people. Furthermore, this information was not known to the humanity of Christ when He uttered these words, nor the Son. His deity has to know every little thing. Nothing's hid from His deity. Nothing's hid from deity. Any member of the Godhead at any time. Somebody said they went to had a religions course here at this college over here, 39th. SNU. Had a religion course. And the professor told this person that had come to Maranatha Church. It was going by the wayside, by the way, at the time. He told him that God hid this, the who is going to be saved from Himself. Isn't that hysterical? I'm going to hide this from myself. You already know about it. How can you hide it? It's just nonsensical. And he said that was a straight face, that God doesn't know who's going to be saved. He hid that from Himself. I walked out of there. I don't need this. Nor the Son must exclude His divine nature, as nothing is hidden from the members of the Godhead. See doctrine of the omniscience. He knows everything. He knows what you're going to think before you thought it. How can He keep track of whether you're in fellowship at a given moment and getting SG3 or not? If He isn't, He doesn't learn anything. We learn. He knows the end from the beginning. Every scintilla of information that could possibly, no matter how trivial it is, how many grains of sand on a given beach, He knows all of it. He knows the future, the past, everything. Always in front of Him and always has been in front of Him. You ought to be glad of that. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. that doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. It is safe to assume that this information was available to Jesus' humanity once he was glorified. Again, if the Father and the Son are co-equal, they must have knowledge of all things. So the situation as regards the Son has changed, so the unknown, Israel's birth, becomes the known for angels and men with the rebirth of Israel. Angels are pretty smart, don't you think? They got a lot of inside information. They've been around the block since the beginning. They've observed stuff. They've collected information. They are very intelligent beings. I'll see you Tuesday. Be here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.